knowledge fire. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question.
What's
you.
Up?
What's your bright spot today?
Everything is plants right
everything
now,
Everything is plants right now.
Everything is plants.
I know. You're retreating into your plants,
yes.
I feel.
Yes,
you're escaping from the world.
I'm trying to become one with the green, as it were.
Because humanity's not doing great right now. Might as well switch to the green.
Yeah. I feel this call of nature, and the only way I can really satisfy it within my middle of Chicago existence. It's tough without a car, having too much access to like the wilds.
Yeah. And Jack London isn't exactly the most fun read.
No.
Yeah.
So what I've just planted a ton of shit, and I'm experiencing a little bit of nature vicariously within the apartment.
Yeah,
and I know I brought it up the flowers on the cucumber a couple episodes back. There's a bunch more flowers. And
it's pretty. It's life.
All I want to do is garden. It's a very weird turn in my life that it has taken.
You
now.
Know, a lot of midlife crises are like, let's
get a car.
Let's leave my wife.
Uh-huh.
Dan's like, I like plants.
Yeah. Peppers, peas. That cantaloupe thing is growing pretty well.
More
That's your cantaloupe, by the way.
I know. I'm excited.
For those listening,
I will be taking that home with me soon.
For those who don't know, Jordan has requested. We went to Home Depot a while back.
Yes, yeah.
And I was like, I'll grow you whatever you want. Whatever you want. Pick out some seeds.
I don't know why. I don't know why the a melon was like. Yeah. Well, obviously Dan should grow me a melon.
Obviously, cantaloupe is the way to go. And pak choy.
I don't even know.
So I have some pak choy growing for you as well.
I'm excited.
So yeah, those are coming in nice.
I don't know what I'm going to do with them.
I just want to sit around. I want to talk about my plants.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look at them. I want to fiddle with them.
I want you to grow something so good that you want to put it into a competition and then you become a competition grower.
Not a chance.
That'd be so fun.
That's not going to
happen. I want you with giant gourds all day.
I'm not a gourd guy.
You're a tech guy.
Uh-huh. Yes, I am. 773 tech guy is a phone number. No, I'm not a gourd person. I've never been. I don't like squash. I don't like pumpkins.
Don't grow giant stuff to eat it later.
Some people do.
Who eats a giant gourd?
People like squash.
That would make me feel uncomfortable if I knew I was eating a giant gourd.
I mean, if you cut it up, how would you know?
No, because it's something beautiful. It should remain large.
Okay, fine. What's your bright spot? You've ruined plants for me. I don't like plants anymore.
Good. Focus on the show, Dan.
Okay.
You're my meal ticket.
What's your bright spot?
The new album by Glass Animals is fantastic.
All right.
Specifically the song Waterfalls Out Your Mind.
Okay.
Really, really good.
You're turning into Pitchfork album reviews.
Listen, I like a good kick drum.
Uh-huh.
I like a well-programmed hi-hat. Those two things are great. Give me a little high-pitched falsetto voice. You've won me over, Dan.
Sure. Okay, we'll have to give it a look. Give it a listen. I've not heard this, but I am aware of the group this time.
R&B is great.
Yeah. As opposed to some of the other times
you've
brought up things that I'm like, I don't know,
all right,
be a musician.
Dick.
So, Jordan, today we got an interesting episode to go over. We're going to be talking about August 17th through 19th, 2020. Uh-huh. I'm Dan, this is 2020.
God damn it, you were doing something different.
Once.
It's August.
I did that one time.
It's August 2020.
This is a coda, I guess. Sort of outro of the week of Millie Weaver.
Millie Weaker? Yeah.
We started the week with Shadowgate. Wednesday, we talked about Alex's immediate response and distaste for the people who are in Shadowgate.
This saga has moved so fast. It has been spectacular to watch. It really has been.
It has.
and not just that. beginning, middle, and end. It's yeah. very, it's very satisfying. It has a completion
and
to
it's, it. And it, it doesn't seem like it's over. There's more
Maybe
trouble.
Not.
There's
Maybe
more
not.
Trouble coming for sure. but I thought we'd sort of be done with it, dead and buried, with Alex's embarrassment
of
having Patrick Berge on, then realizing he hates Patrick Berge.
Patrick Berge so much.
And then being like, I got fucking conned. but that's not where the saga ended.
Uh-huh.
On Wednesday, yeah. it turned out that Alex terminated his working relationship with Millie.
Well, she was never his employee, honestly.
Well, that's why I didn't say fire.
He didn't even need to terminate it. Well, he could have just let
contract
her
run out. Ends. she tweeted that. I don't know if it's true or not, but I would assume it's true.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem any real reason to make that up. Then she challenged Alex to a $10,000 bet about whether her documentary said the things Alex
sure.
was saying or
well,
not.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, she'd win that bet.
Yeah, she would. That's totally true. Yeah.
Then Caitlin Bennett, another InfoWars non-employee, started talking shit on Millie. They got into a fight.
Of course.
And Millie tweeted, where we go one, we go all.
Oh, man.
So she's appearing to lean into
wild.
QAnon.
It's been wild, yes.
It's been a bad week.
I do like her immediate pivot to a different grift.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. That's the smartest thing I've ever seen her do.
I think that Tori and maybe even Berge are Q folk.
Yeah.
So
they,
I think what her experts that she's been hanging out with to make this film, Shadowgate. Mm-hmm. I think that they might have helped steer her.
Yeah, you think she's been where we one go, where we all go, but you know she's been working at InfoWars, so she knew she couldn't jump on that right away.
Yeah, take the mask off.
I mean, she
once.
Wasn't working at InfoWars.
No.
She was working nearby.
It could threaten her contract.
Yeah, exactly.
possibilities for the future. So today what I wanted to do is the 17th was Monday, and then the 19th is Wednesday. So I wanted to go through that period of time where Millie got out of jail on Monday.
Yes.
She had her hearing for the judge.
Mm.
And then on Wednesday, on the 19th, she had been let go by InfoWars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I wanted to see what was going on Alex's show. See how he was dealing with all of this.
This is a close relationship with somebody he's never met before, of course.
I will say I was surprised by how this ends up going. And we'll get into that. But before we do, we got to take a moment to say thank you to some folks who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first, Thomas, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Thomas.
Tommy, thank you. Next, Wallace E. Ponk, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Wallace.
Thank you. Next, Brian M., thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Next, AJ, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, AJ.
Alex Jones.
Ah, no, it was not.
He has a lot of contracts.
That's true. has he terminated our contract yet?
I don't know.
He
I don't think
yet
he started
cut
one.
Ties with us.
No. one more difference between me and Rainbow Snatch.
Yep.
Next, Bajunk. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Bajunk.
Thank you. Next, Whitney H. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Whitney.
Thank you.
H? Eight? Whitney H?
What?
Come on.
Huh?
That's the ghost of Whitney Houston. You know it and I know it.
Oh, it could be.
It could be.
Next, Nick A. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you. Next, Sarah R. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you. And then finally, Texas Red 99. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Texas Red.
Thank you so much. If you are enjoying the show and you like what we do, you could take a moment to go, if you like to support. Oh, boy.
Okay, here we go.
Go to our website, click the button that says support the show.
Yep.
We would appreciate
do
it.
Agree.
Or if you would like, if you, you know. Or you could take that generosity.
Okay.
Make a documentary about it.
Right. Okay. There we go. Now we're running.
Talk to a couple weirdos about this generosity.
Shereen is leaving.
Lose your contract with your primary employer. I don't know. Give it to a charity in your area who can help people in need.
Yeah.
That went way off the rails.
No,
I don't know
great.
What happened there, Jordan.
That was
I'd
great.
Be honest. My brain just like boop.
Delightful.
So we're going to start here. Oh, I should make one correction.
Uh-huh.
On our last episode on Wednesday, when we were talking about Millie, I said that one of the charges was burglary that she got hit with.
Yeah.
But it's actually robbery. I was just using the term because that's how the conversation was framed by her.
Sure.
And I accidentally used the terms interchangeably.
Gotcha.
The actual charge was robbery.
She's robbing.
And I think like burglary is a much more fun word.
Yeah, it is more fun.
Yeah.
It suggests that you have to break in somewhere though for me.
Yeah. You need a second story man.
Yeah. You need a
cat burgling.
You have to descend from somewhere to burgle.
Yeah. But I apologize about slip of language there.
You're doing great.
So on the 17th, we're going to start here. This is a little bit of an update, actually, because as we know from one of our drops, I believe the Raptor Princess drop.
Indeed.
Most people do not crap in the pool they're babies.
Unless they're babies.
We've learned that from Alex, although there is an update on this.
Okay.
This is not a social contract where there's a neighborhood pool and everyone agrees not to take a dump in it. Because now there's a phenomenon where adults just crap in pools. People are so lazy and selfish.
Uh-oh. So there.
Wow. Yep. Wow. Society has really crumbled.
It is crumbled to the point where there is a phenomenon.
A phenomenon.
There's a movement of adults crapping in pools because they're so lazy.
There's a movement?
I guess. I mean, a bowel movement.
Hey, there we go. Do we have awards for that kind of thing?
Yeah. I give it to myself.
Okay.
As good. I'm editing.
All right. Like I think you just egotted. You just egotted with that one joke right there.
Alex is just rambling, man. This episode is it's just treading water, just rambling about Satan and shit.
Sure.
Man, they're under the wings of just absolutely savage entity with just a vicious will that the devil doesn't just want the planet. It hates us. We're a more advanced life form. We're just at an embryonic level. And he's looking at this larva going, that's the big guy right there. He made these damn things. God, look how powerful they are. I can just get control of them. They'll build whatever I want. And I'm going to tear them inside out before I flush them down the toilet because I'm going to beat this guy. And that's Satan in a nutshell, folks.
That's Satan in a nutshell.
That is Satan in a nutshell.
Yep. If I know the devil, that is the devil.
I've heard that explanation of the devil many times, you know. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen those movies about Catholic iconography, like the
Da Vinci Code?
Yeah, those kind of movies. Or The Order starring... Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is that the one with the soul eaters?
Yeah. Great stuff.
Sure.
A lot of them were like, here's what the problem with the devil is.
Mm-hmm.
He knows we're evolved too far beyond him. We're in an embryonic stage.
Right.
That's what Catholic priests preach from the pulpit, Dan. Mm-hmm. Every time you say mass,
To be fair, those movies are fiction.
So is what he's saying.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. So the devil is jealous of humans because we can build things. So the devil wants to trick us into building his stuff to take down God.
Sure.
All right.
What is that, like a catapult?
This is a political show about the dangers of globalization.
Sure.
And how nationalism is wonderful, but no, it's the devil.
It is the devil.
It's so much of this stuff. I was sitting here thinking, I'm like, this is Monday. Like, what's happening with Millie?
You have
a real house on fire kind of issue on Monday. And he didn't get to the situation until maybe like a half hour into the show. And when he did, it was not that great.
Let's get into the Millie Weaver situation.
Yes, let's.
I don't take advantage of events that take place for an agenda I have. I just go with what I really believe the truth is.
Now, that implies that someone else did do that.
That is basically what he's saying, isn't it?
That is the implication.
It is.
And I got blindsided on Friday because Millie had said she was ready to come out with a film. That's Saturday, and I understand films get behind. That's great. She's made a lot of documentaries. I was sure it was going to be interesting. We'd been promoting it here on air, running trailers for it. I hadn't seen it. Then she said, I need more time. I said, take weeks if you need it. I said, it's not my film. I mean, I fund you guys, but you're freelance. And I didn't really know everybody in their film, but I'd had one lady that's in the film on about election fraud in Kentucky that Millie got on. She seemed, you know, informative and interesting and well-spoken. And there was clearly fraud in Kentucky. So this is great. These people are in this film. Haven't seen it. And then I'm coming into the show.
This story is well told, by the way.
Let's go back. Millie starts calling me saying,
let's go back.
This Patrick Berge guy that's in the film, he's in Austin. And I said, okay, well, I'll have him on. Let me know when the film's ready. Let me see the film. So I know what I'm talking about, or send me some clips of the film. And then we'll set you up and he can be in studio. Well, nothing happens on that Wednesday, Thursday, and then she calls me in the morning. I'm working out. I don't answer. But she's saying, hey, Patrick Berge's in town. You ought to get him on. And I call Daria up, the producer, and I say, hey, you know, see what's going on with this. Is she ready with the film? Can I see it? When's it coming out? We don't know. I come in to do the show a couple hours later, and they come in right for the show, and they go, Millie Weaver's been arrested. We're getting the video. I go, arrested? What the hell? In Ohio. Yeah, she's been SWAT teamed. That's what the internet was saying. So I go in there and say, oh, she's been SWAT teamed. I hadn't seen the footage yet. It wasn't SWAT team. They came, you know, it was, and then it looked fake because the cops are like, oh, Gavin Wentz, your husband, and we want you too. And no, we're not going to give it to you. And where I'm like, okay. Then the internet starts saying, I faked this for this film. I've never seen the film. I don't make money off the film. It's free. Millie does her own thing. I don't, and I'm not distancing myself from the film. I don't know what's in it. I'm just nice promoting it, trusting my, you know, correspondence.
I'm just a nice guy. I'm just a nice guy mixed up in all this. I had nothing to do with it. Okay. I paid her to make it.
All right.
I paid for its creation, but I had nothing to do with it. I don't know shit.
All right. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So why is he telling me this story like
it's
he's
so
in an interrogation
boring.
Room?
Yeah.
When no one is in trouble for anything.
Well, Millie's in trouble for beating up her mom.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
Sure.
But in InfoWars, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You have fun with that. You don't fire somebody just for beating up their mom in InfoWars universe.
It doesn't seem like it.
It seems like Millie was fired specifically for opportunism.
Yeah. And no,
and in InfoWars, that's just that you can't do that.
Let's be totally transparent and sure. clear.
Sure.
She got fired because Roger Stone's name was in that documentary.
Exactly. Yes.
That's what happened.
Yes, I understand. Roger Stone said, get rid of her. Yes, yes. Of course. Of course he did.
That's what's happening.
That's
here.
All that needed to happen.
Yeah, there's nothing else. Like, this Patrick Berge guy could be a big old creep.
Yeah.
They could have all kinds of shady shenanigans.
Totally.
They could be QAnon people. It would not matter at all.
He could be Ted Nugent.
But he had the temerity to point the finger towards Roger Stone. And that means you are out at InfoWars.
Yep. That's seemed right up.
But this telling of the story, I think, is probably like, it sounds fairly accurate because it's convoluted.
Yeah.
It is boring.
Incredibly boring.
It makes little sense.
None.
But it's kind of how you would be like, I'm just the kind of guy who has liars that are on my payroll.
Yeah.
And I fund them
honestly,
to make
it's not
bullshit.
My fault.
And, hey, you know what? This one went sideways.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, it is that.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why he's being so cagey when there are no consequences in any direction for him.
Because
he sounds cagey as fuck.
I think the consequences are Roger looks bad.
Does he?
I don't know. who knows what Alex is
thinking?
Dealing with behind the scenes,
yeah,
though,
that's
too.
Fair.
So Alex is very clear that he does not think that this arrest was in any way related to the film.
Of course.
But he's really suspicious.
I don't think it was to stop the film because it didn't stop the film. And the film was supposed to be out 5, 6, 7 days before. I mean, if they did that, boy, the deep state did a perfect job to then go hype something up. That's why people thought I must have hyped something up or that I must have masterminded this, because why would you have the cops right there when they're supposedly just going to release a film? I don't know when they were going to release the film, but what really got to me was how the guys here in town waiting to come on my show, and then I'm never sent the film. And I'm told, oh, technical problems, we'll get a copy to you, whatever. Well, I usually watch something before I talk about it, especially
if I
financed.
It's on YouTube.
And then to find out Roger's implicated as a kingpin in it with no evidence, that kind of hurts, you know?
See, oh, my God.
I'm an insider.
Somebody
know. I'm bad. Roger Stone secretly, you know, works for Obama or whatever. So I'm not mad at that guy. I'm not mad at the Tory lady, any of these people. The internet can go research these folks for themselves, figure out what they think about the whole deal. That's why I'm hands off with Paul Watson or Millie Weaver or Caitlin Bennett. You can ask any of these people. Very little feedback. As long as they're putting good material out and fight the New World Order, I just support them. And then they say InfoWars is our sponsor and we get great content to fight the New World Order.
As long as people are getting attention, I just leave them alone and let it be. But then sometimes it's bad kinds of attention. And that was what happened here.
See, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. It's like if he was there, if we were at a bar and he said, you know, if somebody makes claims about you without any evidence, that kind of makes you feel bad. Mm-hmm. I throw hands. Like, yeah, I just can't. Like, it's an instant reaction of just like, how fucking dare you?
Yeah,
you
said
that. You said that. You son of. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, now think about.
Take one step forward.
Other people. Right.
There are human beings that are not you.
Yeah. Oh, what?
If you feel this way.
Ooh.
All right. Apply that to other human beings.
No, because they're all globalists.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
So Alex doesn't like QAnon people, which sure. I think that he's decided that Patrick Berge, at least, is. And this is Monday. Uh-huh. He's very clearly being like, Millie's fucking done.
People becoming famous and people interfacing and people being leaders is hard. And the globalists come in and they try to sabotage. They try to do all this stuff. You know, it's like, I want to embrace the Q people and believe it's all real and good folks. But you know, they're like, Jones, you're going to get it for the child kidnapping rings. And we pioneered exposing it. Or, yeah, you ought to support Millie more. You turned your back on her. Yeah, bought him an RV, fund him $100,000+ a year. I'm just a horrible person. And then it's just a guy I've never met in my office in an outfit with a 45 jacket on. One, he leaves. That guy's a new world order. I'm the good guy. I'm the good person. I expose the Roger Stone. It's just like, or it's worse. I don't know. So that's the Billy Weaver thing. And I don't know how long this relationship is going to continue. All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's on Monday.
I don't know how long this relationship is going to get.
Two more days, apparently.
I have to look at her contract for the employee that I don't have to see if I can just. Yeah. Is this an at-will contract that I can just terminate?
I had to call my HR representative father and see what.
Dad, take care of this.
Dad, pay off Millie.
Make her go away, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not good.
Oh, that's bad. Very funny.
Well, pretty funny.
So funny.
Pretty.
I just love how Millie could never have imagined that this was how it was going to go.
Mm.
I think that's what I enjoy most about this.
Probably should have.
She has no clue.
Yeah.
She had no clue that this was even a possibility. In my defense, neither did I. Or in her defense, neither did I.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. I mean, this week has been pretty surprising on a number of fronts.
Blindsiding, yeah.
And it really goes to show something. And I'm not sure exactly what that thing is, but I think Alex, like, Millie was a property for him. You know, like, in terms of, like, if you're a team, she's a franchise player.
Sure, sure,
within
sure.
the InfoWars umbrella. Because you have people who are, like, who are there, who are famous, like Paul Joseph Watson.
Right.
He's too famous.
Right.
His face is recognizable.
Sure, sure, sure.
Same to a certain extent with Owen Troyer. He might be right on the cusp.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people like Savannah Hernandez, who isn't nearly at, or Harrison Smith.
Sure.
No one really knows what they look like.
Right.
They can blend into a crowd and pretend that they're, you know, not with InfoWars.
Right.
But those people aren't really all that good.
No, they're terrible.
They're not that good at getting attention.
Yeah.
Conversely, Paul Joseph Watson, pretty good fucking with people.
Yeah.
Someone like Caitlin Bennett is really good at antagonizing people.
Right.
But she also gets yelled. Everyone yells gun girl her.
Yeah.
And like, you were the diaper protest at Kent State girl.
Yeah.
You were turning
point.
You
shit your pants.
Yeah.
You're not going to beat it.
They have those like problems with their ability to go out and do field pieces.
Right.
Whereas Millie had like almost like a real center of that. And that is that like, she had her own popularity.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that she was gigantic, but she
had
her own little niche.
Yeah.
She had her fans, and she was not as overexposed as someone like Caitlin Bennett,
sure.
that she could get away with doing some kinds of field pieces.
No one knows that she shit her pants before she even shows up.
Yeah. And, yeah. No, and there's no like gun girl thing to yell at her in order to mock. She was somebody who had, I mean, not a lot of talent, not a lot of potential, but
very little creativity,
but there was usefulness to her.
Yes.
And she was young. She's 29. Like,
she's a great documentarian.
I don't know about that.
Well,
she's somebody who Alex could have really been, and it seems like was very invested in.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this like break is happening over what just appears to be a bad documentary.
Yeah.
It shows me something. It shows there is, like, I knew that there's no loyalty here.
Right.
But, like, the extent to which that lack of loyalty is glaring. Like,
you don't fuck with Stone.
It's overwhelming.
You don't fuck with Stone. Imagine if Alex had just been like, "Woo, that new Russia thing, huh, Roger? Huh? Look at all that. You're sure it did a lot more than..." And then he's dead. Like, it's that easy, you know? He's just gone.
Wait. So Alex starts questioning Roger, and then Alex is fired?
And then Alex is fired.
He didn't work there.
Roger takes over. Roger's I financed this thing the whole time. Honestly, I've never met Alex before.
Alex was a contractor.
Exactly. Alex's dad is like, "We've decided to terminate our relationship with Alex."
I don't know if it's as simple as just like she talked shit on Roger and now she's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very confusing to me.
I mean, here's the bigger issue, right? I feel like in a normal environment, if you were working at a company as an on-air personality and you beat up your mom and got arrested for it.
Yeah.
I think you would be fired, right? Like, that's a regular thing that happens. We're just jaded because we're in the InfoWars universe where it's like, you beat up your mom, no big deal.
It would be a meeting, for sure.
Right.
And here's another thing that would happen in the normal world.
Mm.
If you funded a documentary, you probably get final cut.
Well, there's that.
You probably get to see it before it comes out.
No! When you fund a documentary, you get a burlap bag, you draw a dollar sign on it, you fill it with money, and you hand it over.
And then some guy who's in it, who you've never met, shows up and talks shit about your friend.
You know what? It's almost partly your fault. Almost say that you could have some blame for it.
I would not say partly. I would say largely Alex's fault.
I got blindsided by this thing I bought.
Yeah, mismanagement all around. I mean, like, if you want to talk about, like, where the buck stops, Alex could have averted all of this.
Oh, yeah.
With just better management, better training of his people.
Sure.
He's like, "I like to be hands off." Well, maybe that's bad. Maybe,
it could be.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Maybe there's some issues with your libertarian views.
Yeah, maybe if you're that hands off, the people that you're funding end up having hands on time with weirdos.
That's possible.
Who are more weird than you.
That tends to happen.
So Alex doesn't want to shit on Millie. There is like a real sense of like, I don't want to go to war with her or anything.
Right.
But I get the sense from listening to this episode that what Alex believes happened is that she got set up by Patrick Berge.
Sure.
Berge set her up.
So I obviously wanted to watch something before I did a review or before I did it, but it just all happened where that didn't happen. And it got rushed out. And the whole thing just felt weird. It felt weird to everybody else. Like, what's going on here? Something weird's about all of this.
Agreed.
And again, I think Millie is a good person.
That's what you say before you fire somebody for sure.
But just imagine being a 29-year-old mom and you get tens of millions of views a week on YouTube and Twitter, and she's beautiful and she's smart. And then there's all these people that come around.
People. She got in with the wrong crowd,
over
Dan.
The years, I know what those people have told her. Everybody goes at our employees and our reporters and tries to run them off. It's part of the Democrat psyop. And I learned to just ignore it. The secret weapon is just totally ignore it.
Sure.
It's all about business.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as gossip starts, I just stop talking to people. And that always ends it. But then something blows up like this, all crazy. And the main guy in the film, that's this spook we're all supposed to totally trust, says Roger Stone's the kingpin with no evidence. And then it's a film that we're promoting. And I said, you know what? They say that in the film. It's stupid. Overall, the film's good, though. I'll promote it. I'll just go with it.
What is that? Why?
All right. So is a general vibe of what Hillary smells like evidence that she is a demon? Can we say that
would you call that gossip?
He's calling her gossip, calling her a demon with evidence, right?
Right. Yeah, she smells like sulfur.
Right.
I've heard from non-gossip sources.
Whereas this guy, who out of nowhere kind of assumes that Roger Stone is a politically connected person who is able to influence events on a perhaps even global scale, if you consider colluding with a foreign power to steal an election.
It's interesting.
It is.
Obviously I have no fucking idea what's going on with any of this, but I mean, I think Alex is right. Like, Millie tried to do her own thing.
Yeah.
She relied on really dodgy ass sources.
That's true.
And it created something that runs counter to one of the main pillars of InfoWars
right.
over the last 4 or 5 years.
Stone is infallible.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, like, I don't, I think he's right, but I look at it differently.
No, I agree.
Yeah, like, the basic facts of what appears to have happened is correct.
Totally.
Alex is wrong about the documentary arguing that Stone is the kingpin of stuff.
He is
that
right.
That is a misrepresentation of the documentary.
Totally. Which makes sense for him. He was right. misrepresented.
Well, there's of course.
No yeah.
It's the way that you create the straw man that you need for the argument sure. of this is offensive.
Right.
But in reality, it's no big deal.
I like to imagine in a better world, she would have been fired just because it was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just on the merits.
Oh, I mean, anywhere other than InfoWars,
yeah.
you probably would
yeah,
be.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that,
no.
that documentary was trash.
Absolute trash.
Yeah. In this next clip, Alex starts talking about Lockstep that he thinks is a program, which is not. And then he gets to talking a little bit more about Millie. I took away from this clip the implication that he thinks that Millie stabbed him in the back.
Okay.
And that she has no honor.
Anybody can go read Operation Lockstep by the Rockefeller Foundation about setting up a planetary prison, a global police state. I mean, and the end of humanity as we know it, and the shutdown of the industrialized world to make populations collapse. Do you know what that means? I mean, I'm sitting here telling you this is going on. You can verify it. And then all the globalists do is change the subject to infighting, just like the race rioting and the divide and conquer. That's all empires do is divide and conquer people. That's
so
all
they won?
Got. And then I watch, classically, that done to us over and over again by people we think are our friends, people that we've supported and financed and done everything for and done nothing but been loving and good, and then to have a knife stuck in your back over and over again, it just makes you sad for people. I'm not a victim. I don't feel sorry for myself. I wonder, how are we turning out so many twisted, screwed up people that don't know honor or justice or freedom, and all they know is betrayal and lies?
I mean, he's obviously talking about Millie.
Oh, yeah. I think he's also including all of the former employees
sure.
who've written.
Josh Owens.
Yeah.
Rob Jacobson.
I think he's very
yeah.
clearly thinking that these people are not telling the truth about him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
he thinks that they're backstabbers.
He has to think that publicly.
How do we keep getting these types of people at InfoWars?
It's a mystery.
There's so many of those types
yeah.
of people.
It almost appears that there is an institutional problem with how the business is run.
That's possible.
So in this next clip, Alex gets off the topic of Millie and her documentary, and he's talking about how, like, hey, man, I generally hold back from calling out the globalists by name.
Sure.
But God told me to stop
okay.
that.
I know the most effective thing I do is calling different globalists out by name and putting messages directly out to them.
In their minds.
And at a subconscious level, I hold right. back because that's the one time you can really piss them off and they go ahead and have you killed.
Read
and it's not
legally.
That I'm afraid of dying. I just don't want to do suicidal things. Suicide by globalist. And so literally the Holy Spirit holds me back from it. But now
literally.
The Holy Spirit has told me to go ahead and attack.
Literally the Holy
and
Spirit.
And here's the issue. After years of holding back, I've been holding back, ladies and gentlemen, the real oratory skills and the real analysis and the will. God
what?
This morning told me.
You've been sandbagging this whole time?
And so I'm just putting everybody on notice. It starts today. I'm not holding back anything anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to.
All right.
It's not my will. It's God's will.
Uh-huh.
God's told me to really step it up and not hold back out of not wanting to be arrogant or prideful.
Oh, boy.
That sounds right.
Wow.
That sounds right. Dan.
That's a bummer.
I did not realize that this was sandbagging Alex.
Yeah.
I didn't know that 25 years into this,
uh-huh.
Alex has another gear.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He never even mentioned the other gear before.
I've been in first for 20 years. Wait till I put this thing in third.
I've been holding back.
Look, hey, I know that I spent the last 20 years screaming at the top of my lungs into a bullhorn about how we're about to die and the globalists are going to put us in a FEMA camp, but I was only going about three-quarter speed, maybe half speed at that point.
When you're this fast, it seems like everybody's going so slow that you got to slow
down. That's so ridiculous. Sense. I just can't. I find that offensive. And he says that he's going to, like, I'm going to call out these globalists by name.
By name.
No more. No names come up.
Never.
Nothing.
Why?
The next couple days, like, he yells about Bill Gates more.
Oh,
like,
come on. He's calling him out by name. Please. Yeah. Is he using his enhanced oratory skills after this?
Well, no. It sounds almost the same, if not worse.
Okay.
But InfoWars is going to the next level. All right.
If I try not to hurt people and if I try to hold back, it's just not going to flow. So it's going to probably have some fits and starts, but I'm just going to let them have it. And it's like a pressure, you know, that millisecond a bomb detonates starting to build up right now. And I just want the listeners and viewers to know it's the InfoWars is about to go next level. Because the whole thing's going next level and the enemy is going next level. And so I've been holding back because, again, I'm dialed in and, man, I can just like, man, it's like, wow. I mean, it's like a storm that hadn't got there yet. You see it blowing in across the water. And then you start seeing the trees start moving. And then when it's actually there, you know, the windows are breaking. It's like, man, I know what's coming.
I think that Alex fired his lawyer or something, maybe. Uh-huh. You know, like that has the feeling of like, hey, you know, when he says stuff like, I hold back out of fear of getting people hurt.
Sure.
All I think of is all the times he's been sued for getting people hurt.
Yes.
And when he says he's going to stop holding back, that just leads me to think, like, I'm going to start fucking behaving like I always used to with a complete reckless abandon for hurting private citizens. And I don't know what else he could be talking about.
All these
lawyers. He doesn't start naming cool globalists who are behind everything.
Right.
And I all I think is like, hey guys, hey, I'll tell you something. Shit's gonna get even sloppier.
Right.
Look, it just doesn't flow when I have to hold back and think about things that could get me in legal trouble. So I've gotta go full speed ahead. My lawyers have assured me that all of the lawsuits that I've got pending and are not going away are going to bankrupt me.
Yeah.
So if I get sued again, who cares?
What do I literally have nothing to lose. Why am I acting like I have something to lose?
I am unsuable. I am on borrowed time from a financial standpoint.
I've been moving money around. Actually, no, I've not. And I've never met Millie Weaver before.
Never.
But I think now is a good time to remember that we got to go next level, Dan. That's what we've been doing. We've been holding back.
Yeah.
It's time to go next level.
Yeah. Gotta really go next level by talking more shit.
I think next level would just include picking on more obscure people like Patrick Berge.
Sure.
Just being like, I'm just a dick to all kinds of people.
Hey, the next level, here's what it's going to be. It's going to be a flame war between me, a weirdo, and Millie. Yeah. There's going to be a three-way flame war going on.
This is our new Tupac Biggie, I'm pretty sure.
Next level.
That's what's going to happen here.
So
And Suge Knight's going to take them both out.
The 17th is not great. Uh-huh. It's a really boring day. A lot of treading water. That's it in terms of him talking about Millie's situation. And so we get into the 18th, and I heard this at the beginning of the show, and I'm like, dude, fucking take the day off.
It's on days like these that you really understand how transitory and short life is. This morning I T-boned, and I'm lucky to not be seriously hurt. I think I have a little bit of a concussion. And I'm glad the other guy and his dog that ran into me is okay. I think it was both our faults, but it is a good to be here with you today. I'll just leave it at that.
This is the next level. I'm going to come to work with a concussion.
I think he learned the wrong lesson from the movie Whiplash. I don't think he got that one.
Man, I think just don't come in. It could be dangerous. Go to the doctor.
I think I have a mild concussion is not something you say on air.
Right as you're starting a broadcast. Like, my mental faculties might be disordered a little bit due to the T-boning that happened earlier. I heard that and I was like, oh, that's not good.
If a T-boning is both your faults, that means it's mainly Alex's fault.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, but the night before, Roger withdrew his his appeal.
Yes, which had nothing to do with the imminently released.
Certainly not.
Yeah.
But Alex realized that, like, I think that might be why he had to come in, despite the possible minor concussion.
Sure, sure,
because,
sure.
Like, you gotta, I mean,
you gotta spin it.
That's not good.
No.
For everything.
All right, I got up early this morning and saw that Roger Stone had not slept last night. He just texted me at like 6 a.m., the article that's at stonecoldtruth.com. It's also at infowars.com. Why I decided to withdraw the appeal of my unjust conviction in the Mueller witch hunt. Now, we all know that he could never get a fair hearing. But when I actually read the lengthy article that he stayed up all night to write.
You said lengthy, which means
it's
you didn't read it.
It's bigger than Roger Stone. I'm not trying to minimize Roger Stone. I'm saying when I'd forgotten what they've done to General Flynn, what they've done to Stone. How rigged it's all been.
You didn't forget anything.
No.
I don't think Alex read this. He has Roger on, and it's just a really boring interview.
Sure.
But Roger put out this article, and it's basically just like, I'm dropping this because, A, my appeal won't be fair either.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of freedom fighters are really recognized for in the face of indefeatable odds.
Yes.
They were like, not worth it.
Uh-huh.
It's too much effort. I'm just, you know.
Look, shit's rigged.
Eh.
And no, I'm not giving refunds. To quote Nelson Mandela.
That's exactly what he said.
What an asshole. It's those kinds of things that make Roger like really a brazen, funny asshole.
The
fact that he can fleece these people this hard
with no consequences.
It's pretty remarkable.
It is. Once you find your niche, man, you can really ride it out.
Yeah. So Roger comes in. And one of the things that I noticed, and I don't think I don't want to make a big deal out of it because it could just be a thing where like Roger's tired.
Sure.
But he seems not interested at all. There is a very weird vibe between him and Alex that's frosty. It's not a good vibe.
Hey, but how about think about Final Cut when you give your employees hundreds of thousands of dollars, you idiot.
Wow.
How dare you put my name in the streets like this?
Yeah. I mean, I know he's not happy about that.
Yeah.
But Alex separated from Millie, so Roger should be happy about that. I don't know. I like I said, I don't want to make a bigger deal out of it than just the appearance of it. But
sure,
it's
sure,
not
sure.
A good interview.
No.
It almost like there were a couple points where I was like, is Roger eating? Is he trying to flip it on Alex? But I don't know. I think it's just in my head.
All right.
We got a lot of issues going on right now about the post office.
Sure.
A lot of people are pretty concerned about Trump's very clear overtures towards attacking the post office.
Yeah.
And Alex has a way to spin this, which actually makes kind of like attacks on the post office are good, maybe.
Okay.
Folks, I'll play it next hour. I'm not kidding. Trump's stealing mailboxes now. They're trying to get Democrats to fetishize the mailboxes and the mail-in ballots as the secret weapon. They're hyping up the post office so that Democrats, who are usually lazy drug addicts, will go out and get the ballots and fill in Granny's name. I think that's what this is really all about.
Yeah, that's probably what it's all about. Not protecting a very vital service that allows this country to operate.
Whether rain or sleet or hail or bad junk, we're going to get this mail delivered, guys.
Yeah. I mean, like, on a really basic level, the notion of how much widespread damage would be done by like a less capable post office.
Oh yeah,
is like I think even alarmist takes on it don't really
do
it justice.
It's astonishing.
There's so much that goes on via mail that you don't even think about. That
about
are so essential
medications.
To
medications.
Sure. I mean that's one gigantic tendril of it.
Yeah.
It
requires prosecutions and jail time.
But the fact that Alex is trying to put a bright spin on this and be like, they're just trying to fetishize the post office.
Yeah, dismantle
and the mailboxes. Like, whatever, Alex.
Fetishize the mailboxes.
Because all Democrats are lazy drug addicts.
Well,
you
of
see.
Course.
So Alex goes to calls. He takes some calls, and one guy He has a theory about Alex's car accident from that morning.
All right.
We're going to the order the calls are received. Rabbi Wolf in California, welcome to the airwaves. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. I wanted to mention to you that there are parallels between the 2016 and the 2020 election, namely the fact that you were T-boned this morning and that Roger Stone was T-boned during that election, but he didn't mention it this morning. And, you know, I know you mentioned about the Gatorade, but there's nothing that you could have done to prevent yourself from being T-boned.
Real quick, the Gatorade is Alex got hit because he looked down and grabbed his Gatorade.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
This morning, and the fact that you looked down actually saved your life because you would have been hit on the driver's side. And you should call on Yahweh and ask him in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach to put a protective ring around you and your family because you don't know how much danger you're in because of the Shadowgate film.
Well, sir, I know this. I haven't had many wrecks.
That's like,
yep.
I don't think that Alex wanted the sentence to end that way. I don't think that's, my life's in danger because of this dumb film starring a guy I hate.
The one that I'm firing my non-employee over.
Yeah.
It's that's
what, Alex, like, you have no idea what the devil is going to do to you for Shadowgate.
Yeah. Call right, upon whatever. Yahweh, buddy. Yeah. Buddy, call upon Yahweh.
So Alex has Dr. Mercola on. He has a guest, Dr. Mercola, who's a big anti-vaxxer, wacky dude, big supplement guy too.
Sure.
He's a disaster. They just basically do a bunch of COVID denialism and stuff. But what I don't care. We're not gonna listen to a ton of it.
Yeah.
But I do want to give Mercola some props. This dude is really good. He puts the pro in promotion.
Okay.
Further into that, I just want, because I know we have limited time, I just want to remind people about stopcovidcold.com and get the information about vitamin D. Pass it around because you've got such an army of people. You can make such a big difference. People are listening. Just go stopcovidcold.com. Take the test, read it, and then implement it. But more importantly, be part of the army. Spread the message to individuals like the churches that have large members of black individuals in their congregation or at nursing homes to get this message out to those people. Hopefully, I know next month, Alex, you're going to be on Joe Rogan's podcast, his premier podcast on Spotify. So congratulations for that. I'm sure it's going to have like 20 million views at a minimum. I think you had 15 million in the last time you were on, but hopefully you can share that with Joe because I think Joe has a perspective that he's a little more pro-vaccine, and you know, because of my position on vaccines, he does not want me on his show. So if you
only
could share
reason
that stop COVID cold, that would be great.
Hey, so Alex, congratulations on being a guest on Joe Rogan's podcast in the future. Can you help promote my shit on there? Because Joe won't talk to me.
No, it'd be great.
Joe knows that I'm nuts, so he won't have me on.
Well, there's that.
But Alex, you're just the fun kind of nuts, so he'll have you on. We'll see if Alex is a guest in a month. I wouldn't be too surprised by that, but I would be very surprised if he ends up promoting someone else's shit.
I would
shit.
Be very, very surprised if Alex is like, listen, I'm going to take my time to make someone else money. That doesn't sound right.
No, probably not.
No.
That's like that's that same vibe that you have when you get like you get booked on a show and your friends are like, hey, get me on that show.
Totally.
Like, I don't book that show.
100%. Yeah.
So anyway, also, Dr. Mercola may be a little bit not up to date on Alex's Shadowgate situation.
Congratulations on one of your reporters put together Surveillance Gate. That was a really brilliant documentary, and I had a chance to watch it this weekend.
Yeah, Mercola, did you? Well, she's fucking fired.
Two things. One, no, you didn't. It's called Shadowgate, not Surveillance Gate.
Sure.
You lying piece of shit.
Yeah.
And two, if you had, you would know we're angry at each other.
Yeah. Didn't go great for me, Mercola.
Ooh, got caught in a lie. Mm-hmm. Thought you would be innocuous.
But he rambles for a bit, so Alex doesn't even have to respond
to
that.
Sure.
So that's good for both of them. So the 18th, also not all that great. Boring interview with Roger. Boring interview with Dr. Mercola.
Right.
Snooze.
Gotcha.
So we come in on the 19th.
All right.
And now what's happened on the previous night on Tuesday was that Laura Loomer won her primary in Florida's 21st, I believe.
Sure.
And Alex is thrilled.
The good news is there's a mass awakening happening. Resistance is intensifying, not just here, but around the world. And Laura Loomer, who they said had no chance of even winning the primary, had more votes, basically, than the other two candidates combined. Unbelievable. President tweeted out, great going, Laura. You have a great chance against a Pelosi puppet.
So we talked about Laura Loomer quite a bit on this podcast. I think that my feelings about this should be pretty clear.
Oh, yeah.
For one, I think that it's an embarrassment for any political party that she could make it through a primary system or any sort of primary. I think it's a real indictment of the state of politics.
Yeah, they're doing great.
I also don't think that she's a guaranteed win in the general election.
Sure.
I think that Frankel has a pretty good chance of winning that election. I think that with the right messaging, it would be tremendously easy.
You would hope, Dan. Yeah. Dan, you would hope.
Yeah.
You would hope that if I was in like a debate, and I was just like, my candidate wants to kill all Muslims.
Hmm. She's locked down the anti-Muslim vote.
Do we need to have a debate after that? She wants to genocide. I want no genocide. I feel like the rational people pick me.
I think that there is a long track record of her doing incredibly embarrassing things. Appearances on InfoWars could be alone. Yeah. It would be enough, probably. I think that any competent general election strategy will be effective against what she has to bring, which is really just yelling, publicity stunts, antagonism, bigotry, that kind of thing.
Right.
I think
the Democrats haven't figured out how to deal with that yet.
They certainly haven't.
Yeah.
But that's why I said a competent approach.
So we're fucked.
I don't think so. No. I'm really bad at predicting things, but I don't see her winning the primary as like a guarantee that she's going to win.
No. This isn't
the general.
This isn't like Alexandria winning the primary.
No.
Yeah.
Or that one other, I can't remember her name now, that QAnon person who won the primary.
Right. Yeah, Green, I think is it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It's not the same thing. There will still be like
it's at least a competitive election.
In the general. And everything that I know about Laura Loomer, I just don't think it's going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you tweeted something that's like, she's going to commit fraud.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I would not be too surprised.
That was the day before Steve Bannon got arrested for fraud.
All these people
they're fraudsters.
Yes.
Commit fraud.
Yeah. Roger solicited donations for his appeal that is now dropped.
It was never going to happen.
Exactly.
We all knew it was never going to happen.
Right. Millie was raising funds after she got arrested with the presumption that, some sort of something to do with her dangerous documentary.
Yeah.
Like over $170,000 donated to this GoFundMe.
Fraud.
Right. Steve Bannon, fraud.
Yeah. They are all committing fraud all the time.
Yes.
Why else would you become a right-wing grifter, Dan?
Yeah, I do think that she'll probably run afoul of something.
For sure.
And if not, like, a really simple campaign of, like, look at this person.
Look!
Yeah.
Look!
She used to date a guy named Baked Alaska. Anyway. Laura Loomer comes on the show.
Sure.
And she talks about how great her celebration party was. And
was Alex invited?
He couldn't make it. But what a guest list.
Okay.
You know, I wish you could have been there to witness it, because we truly did turn cancel culture on its head last night. Everybody who had been canceled from myself, Miley Yiannopoulos, Roger Stone, Gavin McGinnis, and even Faith Goldie, they were all there on stage. And really, it was just a big middle finger to the cancel culture movement and all these tech tyrants in Silicon Valley who have been trying to silence conservatives.
Haha. That's fun. I mean, if that's your definition of conservative, then you think less of conservatives than I do.
Here's my ad.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm running against Laura.
Uh-huh.
Here's my ad. All right.
It's Faith Goldie.
30 seconds of her saying that.
Yeah,
with a picture of her at the celebration party just being like, see.
Look at
see,
yeah.
see, just me with me standing in front of it. Just look,
yeah. And one of the things that I think is really important to keep in mind is that Laura Loomer has no interest in governing. She has no interest in being in politics
she
for the
no
sake of...
She has no idea what they do.
Right. She doesn't want to read bills and, like... and argue points, like, minutiae, like, within the halls of Congress. She doesn't want to do that. She doesn't give a fuck about those things.
They're going to put her on the Appropriations Committee, Dan. She's going to have real power.
Right. This is really what this is all about.
Single-handedly, as the Republican nominee for Florida's 21st District, I have presented on a silver platter to the DOJ a perfect criminal case to prosecute Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg for committing perjury, because now they are actually guilty of committing election interference because they are suppressing the Republican nominee in the president's home district of Florida 21. And they testified under oath, Alex, you and I both know, they testified under oath and said that they are not committing political election interference and that they do not censor political speech.
First of all, that statement was from the past.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's perjury.
No.
Here. Oh, but this is basically what the game was. I think we've talked about this even in the past. Like, it's essentially, on some level, a desperate plea to get back on Twitter.
Yeah.
And failing that, what you end up with is her getting into the race and winning the primary. She gets to grandstand and make this whole point that this is a criminal action, that you suppress conservatives. It's just a facilitation and continuation of the online culture war nonsense.
Yeah, 100%.
That's her bread and butter. That's the lane that she's in, handcuffing herself to doors.
No, Dan. She wants to get into the specifics of a farming bill, Dan. She really wants to make sure that people know what zoning laws are available in the 21st District in Florida. She is going to go to bat for her constituents, of which she knows some. Get the fuck out of here.
She was crying on Alex's show because she doesn't have social media.
That's who I want representing me in Congress.
Like,
man.
Oh my God. It's
beautiful. It's beautiful.
Now, the flip side of this is that now that she is actually in the general, there will be a lot of those like really nefarious shitheads like a Gavin or a Milo.
Totally.
Or a Roger floating around because of the potential that they can have to use her as a conduit for their shit.
Yeah.
And
Andrew Marantz wrote a really great piece on her in the New Yorker because he was embedded with her for a while. And that's who I want representing me in Congress, Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So Laura's on for a bit and Alex keeps being like, OK, once you get done with your strategy sessions, come back and let us know what we can do. So Alex is going full speed on the Laura train.
Yeah.
And then he's got another guest, which takes up most of the rest of the show. And it was just like, I don't care anymore. I just don't care.
David Icke.
Oh, fuck off.
He's going to be joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. He has a new graphic novel out that I've seen that is unbelievable.
It's not really a graphic novel. I don't understand what it is. Apparently, there's like a book, but the pages have videos or something. I don't know. Maybe it's a digital book. Great. I don't understand.
Love it.
I don't care. Alex doesn't really fully explain it all that well.
Roger Stone isn't mentioned, so we are happy to promote it.
I don't know. David Icke is on. I don't care. I don't care.
No, come on. David Icke. No. He's got important things to say.
So he's going to be on in a little bit, but Alex has to get down to business on like how he knows what he knows. Like he's not a psychic.
Lies?
He's not a psychic.
He said he was a psychic.
Well, he has said he's a psychic, but he's not like just... Look, the information that he has is from reading, all right?
Okay.
But, you know, I'm not like John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos having a vision because God sent an angel down. No, I started reading publications put out by the John Birch Society and others.
So you are a Bircher.
And I didn't believe what I was reading, so I went to the library and actually got books by Helmut Schmidt, the German chancellor. Or Carol Quigley, the top advisor to Georgetown to the Clintons. Or Zbigniew Brzezinski, the founder of the Trilateral Commission. And I went and got the books, and I read them, where they admitted all of it. And I said, man, this is horrible.
Here's Alex admitting that he has not read Carol Quigley.
No, he's read them all.
It's available at InfoWarsStore.com. And then Tragedy and Hope, that's, I don't know, 1,100 pages or so, that I see on William F. Jasper's bookshelf on Skype, if you're watching us on TV, where the Georgetown political science professor, Bill Clinton's mentor, who he thanked in a State of the Union, admits they control liberalism, fake conservatism, fascism, and the Trilateral Commission, and all of it is meant to bring in world corporate government. And that it's only meant to look like there's the illusion of choice in politics. I'm paraphrasing quotes. This book, and I've actually read almost the whole thing. When I say that, I probably read 800 pages of it over the years. Because, I mean, I skip over some of the more little factoid inside baseball stuff.
So Alex didn't get this thing like John the Revelator, like some sort of a vision.
No.
No, he read John Birch Society materials, didn't believe it, confirmed it by reading all these books. Naturally. But maybe he didn't read those books.
Yeah.
Maybe he just sort of skimmed those books and read the John Birch Society materials and then knows that you sound like a lunatic if you're a John Bircher in 2020.
Yeah.
And so pretends that, like, I didn't believe them at face value.
I would never.
No, you're just a fucking John Bircher. But worse, actually. I would say probably worse.
I think
because you
only
blend the John Birch stuff with all kinds of Christian identity nonsense, and then you end up with Alex.
Yeah. I think a library is the only place where Alex's skin would actually start to boil when he walks into it. You know, not like a holy ground or,
you know it would be interesting,
unsanctified ground.
You know what would be interesting as like an experiment? Ban Alex from libraries and see if he cares. He loves being banned from things.
Don't tell him he's banned.
No. You have to tell him because he has to fight against it.
See, no, here's my pitch.
Uh-huh.
Don't tell him. All right. And see if he finds out. Because if he finds out naturally, oh, shit, he can go crazy.
Here's an interesting way to do this. I don't know how we would logistically do what you're talking about, but here's what we could do.
Okay.
We could tell Alex that we've got a bunch of witches together.
Okay.
And we've cast a spell that makes him unable to read.
Ooh.
Then, to prove us wrong, he would have to read things.
And we would see how that goes.
This might be the best reverse psychology
we
could do.
I think we can do this, I think we got this one.
Now, Alex has not read Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope because he hasn't.
It's very long.
Yeah, I understand.
He didn't read Roger's thing. He said it was lengthy.
It's not lengthy. I'm not begrudging Alex for not reading Tragedy and Hope. That is his choice.
Yeah.
I am begrudging him for building a worldview on it and not reading it.
Yeah.
That is my complaint.
That's kind of an issue.
So he's not read that, but one of the things that I think he's been getting into lately might be Space Ghost.
Sure.
You know, all that control, and yet they have to take my videos down. They have to take my YouTube channel.
Oh, I totally agree with you that they're all about suppressing and controlling humans because we're more advanced to them. So it's basically like a Space Ghost episode where the centipede or the praying mantis creature is trying to figure out how to control American television and can't even figure it out. I mean, they've got the power, but they don't have any of the knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is old Kentucky Shark, and he has been there.
No, I don't know if he's talking about Space Ghost Coast to Coast or the original Space Ghost. I don't know what he's... See, are you talking about the original Hanna-Barbera? Because if so, that's a very bizarre reference. If you're talking about Space Ghost Coast to Coast...
That is also a bizarre reference.
Yeah, no matter what, that's very weird. And it doesn't land.
No, that's not good.
So we have one last clip here, because I don't care about listening to David Icke talk about his evil is a possession.
I would prefer
kind
if they
thing.
Started talking about Space Ghost.
I would like that,
That'd
too.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Alex says this about, like, he's like, hey, you know, you used to work at the BBC. There were a bunch of demon people there. And, you know, I went to some Satan things when I was younger.
Sure.
Alex talks about how he can, like, pick out demons.
Sure.
And this, like, really disturbed me.
Did you ever see what I've seen? They do it on TV, but I saw it some growing up in Dallas with real Satanists when they make that satanic Joker face. And a human can't copy it. Only the demon shining through can. When you look at the Colbert faces or the faces made by AOC or the faces made by the Hillary when she's all sharking out, or Newsom makes them, but not completely. They make this demon face. Have you ever seen that in person?
Well, I've seen many faces do many strange things.
That's a great save.
That's a good non-answer right
that's
there.
That's about
Dave.
As good as you can do.
Oh, undoubtedly. Because, like, Alex is asking a stupid question. And also, David Icke doesn't want to be like, you know what? I used to talk about reptilian shapeshifters a lot.
I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, let's not get into the specifics about people with slit eyes and what have you. No, Alex is just trying to rationalize why he can call whoever he wants a demon.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, there's a face that only demons can make. Humans can't copy it.
Andrew Daly's character on Bananas for Bonanza,
uh-huh,
who is also a vampire hunter.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I kill all these vampires. How do you know it's a vampire? Ah, you just know it's a vampire. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be a joke.
They say things like, oh, what, me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be a joke.
It is a joke for him. For Alex, no. You know, other people that he might think are demonic. Don Knotts.
I've seen a lot of faces on a lot of people, Dan.
Trying to think of other, like, classic people who had, like, sort of... very emotive faces.
Well, could do a lot of facial comedy. There's Jim Carrey.
Oh my God, classic demon.
Yeah, Jim Carrey's definitely a demon. Uh-huh. Robin Williams, God yeah. rest his mm-hmm. soul, if he could, but he's a demon.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks with pretty elastic features that
about,
are a feature
how about
of
people
comedy.
Who do voices.
Oh, there's some voices that only demons can make.
That would have to be true too, right?
Yep.
That would have to be true. Man of 1,000 voices is a demon.
Hey, have you ever seen somebody with purple hair? Humans cannot dye their hair purple.
Demons.
It is a sign
when
of
when you're born a demon, it grows purple. You have to dye it away.
Yep.
That's just true.
It read it in the white papers.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, look, I don't think that this episode has a lot going on for it because we've entered back into InfoWars.
Yeah.
Like, by this point of the weekend was fucking exciting as hell.
Yeah.
And then it just fell apart. Alex decided to reject what was going on with Millie.
Yeah.
And then behind the scenes, clearly must have been communicating with her
totally.
To end the working relationship
mm-hmm.
By Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not bringing it up on the show and pretending like Shadowgate doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, Tuesday and Wednesday's show, it's all Loomer, all Roger defense. For his, like, he was right to drop his appeal.
Of course. Well, it's important for him to drop his appeal.
And, of course, a stupid interview with Mercola. But, like,
right.
it just feels like boring as regular InfoWars. And, quite frankly, I found that to be disappointing.
Yeah.
I found it to be an insult. You're really cooking with gas when you were being mad about Patrick Berge.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm really disappointed on his decision to punt.
But I think he has to, because getting into the mud with these people is not a good idea.
Yeah, no, it's a bad idea for him.
Yeah.
He's making the right decision. I'm disappointed because my life would be infinitely better if he was like, this is where we die. This mm-hmm. hill is what's going down. I am fighting Millie Weaver tooth and claw.
Either Berge goes down or I do.
Exactly. I want him to get into a flame war with a petty dude. I want that.
But I think that Alex probably got the exact same vibe that most of these other people, like a Matt Gaetz or Dan Bongino did. They're like, this fucking dude is no good.
Yeah.
This is going to be a mess. I don't want to be involved with this guy.
Yeah.
So you
I
distance.
Look at you and I think I'm going to do a dime. That's what I look at you thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to if I talk to you, I'm going to do a dime.
You don't get the game we're playing.
Exactly.
You
exactly.
don't get the game we're playing and that's going to fuck everything up.
Yeah.
Like Roger, he's a shady dude, but he gets it.
Right.
He knows what we're doing.
Right.
He can play.
No,
you
it's like Michael
play.
It's like Michael Madsen in Pulp Fiction, where it's like everybody here, we're all in it for the heist, and you're a psychopath wild card, and I don't want nothing to do with you chopping ears off.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even gonna help us steal shit.
Yeah, and what's gonna happen is you are going to I don't know, you're gonna think it's some sort of integrity moment or whatever, and it's gonna fuck up our whole game
totally.
If I let you too close.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. You got to know when to drop your appeal. And it's the day before it's revealed that you did even worse shit. And Patrick Berge doesn't know when to drop his appeal. He's going to think, no, we actually can win this thing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not how this game is played.
It's Alex probably doesn't want to be involved with any ideologues.
Yeah.
Or like people who are like really deeply committed to something.
Yeah.
Because
he's
running scams. These people are running like propaganda grifts.
Yeah.
And there are some things that you can feel passionate about, but the grift's got to come first.
Yeah.
And for people like him, someone like Patrick Berge, who's clearly a zealot for his own pet mm-hmm. conspiracy. Mm. He is a danger to the primary grift that totally. You're running. And so you gotta, and I think that's even more, I think the Roger thing is probably more of a cover for that.
Yeah, probably.
Because the stuff about Roger in the documentary, while funny, isn't damning.
No. And it's innocuous, I thought.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, the extent of it that could be taken as bad is like Roger didn't realize that his association with the Trump campaign would be used against the Trump.
Right.
You know, it's not like Roger actively did things according to this documentary, but.
And Roger knows he's committed so many more crimes than could be possibly imagined in this documentary. Sure. Are you going to come at him with this?
Yeah.
Nah.
So, I'm just bored by Alex returning to standard ass Alex and doing interviews with David Icke and all this shit. And it's like, come on, man. You started the week like this.
And Shadowgate is the gate of all gates.
What happened?
It's been a quick weekend.
Yeah.
It's been a fast weekend. That, you know, I don't like the meme, the life comes at you fast. I'm kind of, but goddamn, sometimes it works.
Yeah, just over the span of a couple days, we went from Shadowgate is the gate of all gates to Millie Weaver fucking fired.
Get the fuck out.
I am not talking about it. I'm going back to treading water, talking about the devil and COVID's a hoax. Fuck it.
Oh, man.
It's weird. This has been a disruptive week.
Mm-hmm.
But it does also go to show that, like, Alex can revert back to this normalcy mm-hmm. pretty fast.
Yeah.
And
so disappointing.
Yeah.
This should have been a whole fucking this should have been dragged out for months.
Yeah.
It would have been beautiful.
Yeah. If they had any good pro wrestling bookers, they probably would have teased this out a little bit. But anyway, we'll be back on Monday with something else entirely. We'll see what happens. But before we end this episode, Jordan, let's take some phone calls. Yeah, let's hear some talk from the people.
Okay.
Hey, boys. This is former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. I just wanted to call and say that I know you've been giving my friend Alex a bit of a hard time, but overall, I think you've been doing a really good job here. As you know, I am a big fan of interpreting and looking at real documents. So to listen to Dan just break down the reality of the document situation on a regular basis has been just a real treat to hear. And sometimes I find myself wishing that Alex would go back to his roots of exposing the true conspiracies that are out there and not so much just relying on xenophobia. But unfortunately, people change. And, well, I just want to say again, Dan, Jordan, you've been doing a really great job. Thanks a bunch. Again, Jesse Ventura approves Knowledge Fights.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
What a get.
That was a pretty good one.
Jesse Ventura.
He's got it all.
He's calling in and he's liking our show. Suck on that, Alex.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Next thing you know, Willie Nelson's going to be calling in.
I like good impressions because.
That wasn't an impression. That was Governor Jesse Ventura.
I apologize. Apropos of nothing.
Right.
I like the Jesse Ventura impression because there's the in for it mm-hmm. is the arr. Like the way he says arr, just like that. That's how you get into it.
Or you could just say gorilla monsoon.
Gorilla monsoon.
That does help. All right, let's take another call.
Okay.
Hey, Dan and Jordan. This is Eric from Cincinnati. On your Wednesday episode, you guys were talking about oral traditions and how you thought that you should start one. And I was kind of surprised that you didn't pick up on the fact that that's kind of what you've been doing for the last few years. I mean, what is a podcast if not an oral tradition? You were talking about how you can't really have guests on the show because there's, you know, so much that they would have to have listened to and there's not a quick way to get caught up. And I mean, I think that that's just perfectly evidence of the fact that, yeah, this is actually an oral tradition, right? All of the details about Leo Zagami and Lionel and Mark Richards are not written down. You have to have listened to the hundreds of hours of stories to actually get them. So what I'm saying is congratulations, guys. Good work on their old tradition. And keep up the good work in general. See ya.
That was awesome. That,
we're a church, Dan.
That's such a good perspective.
That is a good point.
I hadn't even looked at things that way. But yeah, there is kind of an oral tradition.
No, you're not wrong. No, that's very insightful. It is.
The only thing that's different about this than like classic oral tradition is that like in classical sense, oral tradition has to do with the same stories being told over and over again
in order to preserve them.
Well, to preserve them, and then they change organically over the telling
it's
of it.
It's an infinite game of telephone.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, if we were telling the same story about Leo Zakami over and over again, but I guess that's the...
It is kind of a... That, we're expanding Leo Zagabi's backstory at all times.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, he committed 9/11, Dan. He's an important historical
character. By himself.
By himself.
With no other help. So let's take another call.
All right.
Hi, Dan and Jordan. I hope this is Dan and Jordan. You don't have, like, a message. Just a random boy now.
All right. I'm not mad. So hopefully we do this every time.
Especially since I'm calling in the middle of the night. Anyway, I'm calling. I love your show because I'm a college student studying violent extremism, and you guys make it really palatable to learn about conspiracy theories. But the reason I'm calling is because my name is Wrigley. And I thought that Jordan, being a Cubs fan, would find that really funny. Actually been to Wrigley Field. I'm not a big baseball fan, but
go.
I was named after the field. My parents like baseball, so I hope to go someday. That's about it. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be like an Alex Jones caller, give myself a shameless plug. You guys were talking about Andrew Wakefield a couple of days ago, and I run an autism advocacy Instagram account. At Autistic Academic on Instagram. So if anybody wants to learn more about that, you can check me out there because you guys didn't really talk about it too much on that episode. And it's something I'm very passionate about. I love the show so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Wrigley.
Yes, thank you very much, Wrigley. Go to Wrigley Field and go to her Instagram page.
Yeah.
I want to learn more about that stuff.
I've been to Wrigley Field, but never sober.
I've never recommended anyone go sober.
Yeah, I don't know how much I would have enjoyed it if I was sober, but
you just don't understand the beauty of the field, Dan. Smell of the grass.
Aesthetically, I enjoyed it when I came in, and I guess I was sober when I came in.
Oh.
But I also was like, I went with a comedian, Bobby Buds, and I was making fun of him a lot because I think the Cubs song sucks.
Sure, no, you're not wrong.
I was like, guys, this is all stupid. It was a playoff game. I don't remember what year, but
well,
I got...
that could have been 2003.
Tanked.
Yeah.
I got really, really drunk. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, I was singing Go Cubs.
Exactly. Now you understand.
Yeah.
Now you get it.
Yeah.
That is how everyone watches at Wrigley.
Yeah. I got really drunk and you get caught up in the feeling of like being the crowd. And I experienced that at Wrigley in a way that I haven't really experienced it. I mean, to be fair, I haven't gone to a ton of sporting events as an adult. But like that feeling was very powerful.
Playoff game in Wrigley Field is one of the most powerful experiences that you can experience.
People are really into it.
Yeah, they're really into it.
Yeah. So let's take another call.
All right.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Jordan. I've been a fan for a long time, and I just thought you'd be interested to know the clip or the out-of-context drop that got me into your podcast. It is Alex describing himself as the piranha of liberty, mashing his teeth together against the globalists. So do more out-of-context drops. They're hilarious. Love the show and keep doing what you're doing.
That is a good point.
That is a good point.
I need to rededicate myself to the out-of-context drops.
There was a good time where we had the out-of-context drops every episode.
I think Alex used to say more out-of-context funny things.
More non-sequiturs.
I'm the piranha of liberty, gnashing my tiny little teeth on the globalists.
That is pretty good.
All right, see another call here.
Okay.
Hey, Dan and Jordan, this is Emily. I'm just calling to say that I love your show. Thank you, long-time listener, first-time caller. A couple quick things. First of all, I don't think you plug your merchandise enough. Just want to let you know, I bought one of your shirts about a month ago. I cut it up into little strips. I put those strips into pills. I've been taking those pills every day. And I'm going to tell you that I think that I've gotten stronger significantly. My neck has gotten bigger, but in a good way. And You know, I'm sleeping between 4 to 12 hours a night. It's fantastic. I can't recommend it enough. And then secondly, I have another really important question. Have you listened to Taylor Swift's new album, and what do you think? All right, that's it. Thanks. Have a great day, guys. Really appreciate the show. Bye.
Hey, thanks, Emily.
Yes, thank you very much, Emily.
To the question, I don't know. I have not listened to the new Taylor Swift album. And I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift is a sort of blind spot for me in terms of like a chick pop.
Yeah.
That I don't know why. I don't dislike her at all.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly... Like there was a stretch where I really liked like Blank Space,
yeah,
and Bad Blood was pretty good. Like I liked a couple of those singles, but for some reason I never ended up listening to the albums in the same way that Kesha or Carly Rae Jepsen got me.
I've never listened to a Taylor Swift song.
No,
yeah, never.
Have you been to a store?
I guess I've never purposefully listened to a Taylor Swift song, and it's not. I don't have anything against her or anything like that. The problem was I was introduced to her as the punchline to a joke, and hate when
the Kanye.
Not that. Oh no, I guess that is where I was introduced to her. Well, I guess I was on Kanye's side, so.
Oh, you were wrong.
No, I was totally right. I was totally right. Beyonce deserved that. No.
Wow. You can agree that maybe Beyonce should have won and still not be on his side.
What do you want? What do you want? A boring musical award show?
I want people treating each other with respect.
That's fair. I get that. I mean, it's a real bummer. It is an exciting moment in her life, and Kanye ruined it. But that's even more exciting for me.
For you.
I should probably be for her too.
I think it would probably be pretty embarrassing.
Be for everything. If I was having any kind of party and Kanye ruined it, that's a great story.
She had some good songs early on. Like a bit of that earlier career was a bit more country tinged.
Yeah.
But I remember enjoying stuff like "She Wears Short Skirts, wear T-shirts."
I just don't want to wait until a critical opinion, and then I don't want to turn into the guy who's like, "Actually, Taylor Swift isn't any good." I don't want to do that. I just washed my hands of it.
I'm sure it's really good pop, and I will listen to the new album and I'll get back to the people. I'm not entirely sure. And I appreciate Emily bringing it up because I bet there's a lot of really good stuff in her catalog that I've just missed.
I'm sure.
Because of like. Just, I don't know. I don't know why I haven't listened to her.
No, whenever I don't have to have a take on it, 20 years from now, I'm sure I'll love it.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's get one more call.
Okay.
Hey, this is Ashley Moore calling for the Tat Guys. My wife has a big Info Warriors tattoo on her forehead that I'm looking to see if we can get removed. So call me back if you know anything about tattoo removal. Thank you.
You shouldn't have gotten this phone number.
We're not Tat Guys.
Well, right. I mean, we are tat guys,
well,
but
we
don't know
guys.
Anything about tat removal.
We're not tat removal guys.
No, I apologize for any confusion.
That's very good. We've had a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of good, nice little sardonic phone calls. I'm a fan.
So anyway, Jordan, we'll be back. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledgefight. Now go to bed, Jordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. It's like knowledgefight. If you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work, especially if you're in Chicago right now.
Yeah, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I'm the piranha of Liberty.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.